Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. This is Mama T coming at you. I hope you're having a beautiful, blessed day, regardless of what may come your way, especially believers, because we know who we are in Christ and are developing in that knowledge day by day. As Paul said, outwardly we may be perishing, but inwardly, according to 2 Corinthians 4, we are being renewed day by day by the Word of God. And so this is what this show is about, the gift of life, because the gift of life is in Jesus Christ, 1 John 5, just read it. He said, if you don't have that life, if you don't have Christ, then you don't have eternal life. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, our sacrificial sacrifice that died for us on the cross, redeemed us from the curse. He became a curse so that we wouldn't, and he gave us his new nature, and now we have been set free because of his substitutionary sacrifice for us. That's the bottom line. That's the good news, the gospel. The good news is, you don't have to go to hell and be separated without God. You can have Christ Jesus as your substitutionary sacrifice just by simply praying and asking him and giving him your life for his life. Hallelujah. So, bottom line, my target area, my lane that I fight in is teaching the Word of God, particularly to the body of Jesus Christ. But like I said in my book, anybody can get in this because Jesus Christ died for the whole world. The worst person you can think of, he died for Hitler. You know, he died for Pharaoh. You know, he died for everybody. But everybody has the power to choose life or death, blessings or cursings. But God wants us to choose life so we and our descendants can live. Deuteronomy 30:19. So, I've been talking on for the last, this will be our sixth session, on the seed, S-E-E-D, the sower and the seed, how the sower is sowing the seed. And I've started off with Matthew 13. You can go to lovebyexample.com, go to the archives, and you can see them numbered. This time I'm titling the spiritual, what did I call it? It's been a while since I've said it, but the spiritual eye. Seed. We're looking through our spiritual eyes and seeing this incorruptible seed that's on the inside of us, because we have been born again. And those that are born again, you know, because our first birth wasn't able to defeat Satan and sin and get us to heaven because it was tainted with sin. So we had to be born again. Everybody has to be born again to be accepted by God. Okay, there's nothing that we can do, earn it or work for it, or nothing we can do to maintain it. It has to be a spiritual, supernatural, divine intervention by God interceding for us on our behalf. And so, and Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. Somebody had to pay that debt that all humanity owed, and we weren't fit to die for our own self. So that's why Jesus Christ became a man. God in flesh became a man and took our place. So praise God. That's called being born again, having a new life, starting all over again. So, but again, we are spirit, soul, and body. And in my book, Do You See What I See, on page 136, I have a diagram of that. Two verses I love. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And then this one, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prays this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's just praying that we will just continue to renew our mind so that our mind, our thinking process, our emotions, and our will, and our brain and body will be preserved and sanctified, set apart for God every single day until we get our brand new body. Isn't that beautiful? So we are spirit beings, born again, in the spiritual realm. But we still have a mind to think with and to feel and to choose. But we also have this contaminated body that is God's temple, hallelujah, that we can magnify the beauty of the Lord as we renew our minds. So he uses the seed, parable of the sower of seed, as an analogy, as a comparison, and as a contrast, a physical seed, a farmer sowing seed in his farm and in the dirt. He uses that as an analogy to help us to see that's what we have inside of us as believers, we have this incorruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23. And he wants us to learn, he wants us to learn how to live from that position. And that's what my book is all about, based off of the four P's, our new position, new power, new performance, and a new awareness of God's presence in us. And when I say new, I should say divinely. It's divine. It's not natural. It's supernatural. So I've been talking about the parables of the sower and the seed. I started off already in Matthew 13, and then I'm just moving right down the list. The next one in Matthew 13 is the parable of the leaven, but I'm going to it's the parable of the mustard seed, but I'm going to jump back from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because they're in all three of the synopsis gospels. But we're going to look at the mustard seed today, because the first one, parable, was about the seeds. And Jesus said in Mark 4:13 that if we understand this parable, the sower and the seed, all the other parables that we're going to read, the Holy Spirit is going to illuminate to help us to understand those. Because they all relate to us right now in the body of Jesus Christ for this dispensation of time. Okay? And that's a whole new ball game there. But just know that this particular story, the sower and the seeds, and the rest of these parables that Jesus tells here, is all about our relationship with the Lord and with one another. And so, and with the enemy. Because our relationship with the enemy and sin has totally changed now. Sin and Satan really aren't an issue, because we have been born again. Now, they'll be an issue for you if you don't get out there and dig in your garden and pull up those weeds and recognize it. It will be an issue. And unfortunately, that's what's happened in the body of Jesus Christ, is that Satan and sin have become a big issue, where they almost dominate a whole complete service without people being unaware of their sneakiness and how they deceive and how cunning they are to make you think that the good things that you're doing are exactly what God wants you to do. And in reality, a lot of it's just lip service. Jesus said a lot of people honor me with their lips, and with their do's and their don'ts, but the heart is far from them. I mean, they haven't been born again, okay? So, because another word for the heart is the new nature. So we're going to look at the parable of the mustard seed now. So we saw the four soils. We saw the hard soil, the weedy soil, and the stony soil, and the good soil, which three different kinds of levels of maturity and growth happens in that good soil, 30, 60, and 100 times. So actually there's six soils. Now we're going to look at, that's the condition of the heart or the mind, and how we're to respond to those, okay, and how we're to examine ourselves. Now we're going to look at the mustard seed in Matthew 13, 31. And it's really short, but let me just read it really quick. It says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, Jesus is all about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And that's one and the same. It's basically saying the kingdom of heaven is a realm, a sphere, an atmosphere. It's another dimension, okay? An invisible dimension, you could say. Just like we have that incorruptible seed on the inside of us. That's another realm, another dimension, a spiritual, holy dimension. But it's run by a king, and that's the kingdom of God. So it's God's kingdom. So God's in control here of this realm. So he said, because Jesus was always about talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, because you know why? Because Jesus always did what the Father said, and Jesus, by the way, was God. So here we go. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, I'm not going to dig deep in this, but just know this. This particular mustard seed is definitely a small seed. Most people know that. But the point of this parable, Jesus is saying that it grows huge. It has a major influence. Now, the influence of the seed could be positive or it could be negative. The key thing that I believe the Lord wants us to see is that it is a seed that has influence. In other words, it will grow. And, you know, one of the things that's very, very important to understand, that when you understand that you can choose to grow in Christ or not, like a seed grows, and what you plant and what you sow, that's what it says in Galatians, what you sow, you reap. He says, don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So it's important to know that this mustard seed, it starts off small, might not look like anything, but it will grow. And God is looking for obedience to his voice. So we have to be in his word to hear his word, because faith, it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by what? Hearing the word, or the sowing of the word into your spirit, into others, hearing the word of God. So when you hear the word, when you sow the word, when you speak the word, faith should be rising up in you if you're sowing the word. Now, if you're not sowing the word and you're sowing the weeds, or the next parable we're going to see, the tares, then that's going to grow too. And we've learned that with these toxic thoughts and these negative thoughts with Dr. Leaf, that you have the toxic dendrites and you have the healthy dendrites. The dendrites are just the seeds that are going to grow in our brain, which look like little trees. They're going to grow, even though they look dead on a brain scan, like dead, hard, brittle trees. But guess what? They're still much alive. And it says in Matthew, I think it's 12, 25, 24, that, you know, if you don't replace that, keep that house clean and replace it with something healthy, then the enemy comes back 7 times stronger. So even though those toxic seeds and those toxic weeds in our thinking, if they're not being cast down, replaced by the word of God on a daily basis, then those toxic seeds will grow, just like this little mustard seed. It will influence you. So another story I want to just show you, another parable, and we won't go in detail, but I, just when you have time, read Matthew chapter 21, verse 28, all the way to 20, because it parallels with this parable, the 31. And it parallels, it's about two sons. You probably heard it. It's about two sons. The father told the first son to go work for him in the vineyard, to get up and go out there and do some work. And the first son said, I will not go. But then afterwards, he regretted what he said, and he went. And then the second son, he said, hey, I'll go. But he never went. So Jesus asked those that he was talking to, which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, of course, the first one, because he said he would not go, but then he did go. And so Jesus is saying, you're right. And what he's basically saying in this is that God is not looking for lip service. People that will say, I'll go, or I do, and their heart's far from them. They're really not doing it, what they say they're going to do. They're not being who they say that they really are. He's looking for people that might say, oh, I really don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. You don't have to feel like doing what God says to do it. Okay, love is an action. Love is obedience. When you hear God speak, you just go. And this is the story that I think that makes me think of this mustard seed. Because you know what? That seed that you plant, it's going to grow. And if you want what God's word says about you to grow, then you've got to hear what he says, and then you have to do what he says. You might not understand it. You might not even want to do it. But you know what? Eventually, soon, you need to do that. Because if you don't, that other dendrite, that negative toxic thought, it will grow. Because it's a natural thing for the weeds to grow in this contaminated body and this brain that we have. And it's very supernatural, and it takes action, and it takes obedience to God's word that it grows. And I'm thinking, and I'm reminded of Samuel, when Samuel told King Saul, remember King Saul back in 1 Samuel 15? He said that to obey God's voice is better than sacrifice. So you could say, obeying God's voice, doing what God said, is better than you doing what you say, or sacrifice, or do. You see that? And so it's very, very important that we make sure that who we're listening to, who's sowing seeds into us, what we're sowing into ourselves, that they're God's words, God's voice. And then it's very important to do what God says and not what we think or what others think, okay? So we'll be like that first son, not the second son that's just saying, yeah, I'll do it, all good, okay, later on, okay, I'll get it, and you never get it done. You just say it, talk, 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 and you can quote the verses, and you can, you know, you can pray it the loudest, and you can amen the most, and hey, you might even give more than, you know, than that widow woman that only gave two little mites. You know, you on the outside, it just looks like, hey, you got it going on, you got the cars, you got the shoes, you got the nails, you got the weaves, you got the suits. I mean, you're just hanging around with all these prestigious people and going to all these pastor appreciation thingy bobbers and all these conferences and singing the loudest and selling the most CDs and all that external stuff and all that tithing and stuff. That's not what gets you to heaven. That's not what pleases God. What pleases God is that you obey His voice. And you cannot obey His voice, His words, His thoughts until you know what His words and thoughts are saying to you. So again, you got to be back into the Word of God so that that mustard seed, remember, He's using the seed as an analogy for His Word. That's what He says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, that the Word of God is, I better check that because I feel like I may have misquoted that, but the Word of God is the seed. Let's see here, in Luke 8, right here, He says, the Word of God is like a seed. Here it is. Now, the parable is this, okay? The seed is the Word of God. And if you look at Mark 4:14, says basically the same thing, that the seed is the Word of God. And if you go to Matthew 13:19, it's talking about the seed being like a Word of God. So he's doing a word picture here. He's giving us a physical picture about a seed and how it grows, how exactly the Word of God grows in the soil of our mind, of our heart. So the seed of God can start out real small. A word can come to you really small. But if you water it and guard it and maintain it in the Spirit of God, it will grow in a positive, godly way. And then the birds, other people can come and fellowship and nest with you and rest with you and encourage you. And Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So that's the kind of the, it's not the conclusion of the story, but I'll just say this parable of the mustard seed, you know, it's Jesus is using this seed as a shrub or a tree that comes from the seed. It's like it grows up into a tree or a shrub. And in John 12:24, to represent the kingdom growth, how the kingdom grows. And it's consistent with all the other tree references. When you look at the, and I'm going to focus on these seed parables, and then we'll go into the other ones. But all this is just grows and flows together. First, you have the condition of the heart. Then you see the how tiny it might start with a little seed, but yet it grows into a great big bush or a tree. And then we're going to look at the wheat and the tares, how they grow together. These two different kinds of thought processes, the negative and the positive, the dendrites, how they grow together. But and then we'll look at the actual growth, how it grows, that we have nothing to do with the growth. Oh, it's so beautiful. So brothers and sisters, this is important for us to understand that the growth of these seeds can attract the word, can attract other people around us. And it can also stir up and attract evil. Because people, not everybody's, we looked at the four soils or the three soils, is not going to respond positive to you when you start growing in the image of Christ. Now, many will come to you, but many are going to respond in a negative way to you too. So you got to be strong in who you are in Christ and have a firm confidence on who God is in you and what He's doing through you so that you don't fall prey to these different people that are going to reject you, that are going to talk about you, and that persecution is going to come. And they're going to laugh at you for the different things that you start saying and proclaiming about the Word of God. So there's always a negative and a positive while we're on this side of glory. So this picture paints the parable of the mustard seed. And Jesus is saying it starts very humble. It's a humble beginning. But you know what? You know, when we come to Christ, if you're just a brand new born again believer, you know, you had to come humbly. You had to come hungry, and you have to maintain that humbleness and that hungriness in order for the Word of God to take root, because God is not going to force Himself on you. You know that. God is a loving God, but He wants you to grow. He wants you to experience the presence of the power of the Spirit growing you in you, so that you can be like a tree or like a bush, to where it grows beautiful leaves and planted by the rivers of water, and you can just see those leaves and branches growing connected to the vine as other people get to rest and come in and rest on those branches, like birds rest on the branches of trees that we see outside even today. So there is a growth process, and it's important for us to understand this process and feed ourselves the Word of God. It's so important for us to get these parables, I believe, because they, as I said earlier, they're like pictures that Jesus told us. And he said, if we understand this parable, the sower and the seeds, we'll understand who we are in Christ, how he wants to work in us, and our very purpose for living. And we need to understand our spiritual gifts. That's the second P in our 4 P's process that I have in my book. And then to use those gifts to edify the body, to use those gifts to breathe on the Holy Spirit on the seeds that God has given us to minister to other people around us, and to show love and compassion to people that are hurting and that are mean or that are walking in the flesh and don't understand, that we can really reach out and become all that God has called us to be. So the world will look at us and say we are different than they are, and they'll want. See, they'll be like those birds. They'll want to come and rest on our branches. Praise God, because God loves everybody. Remember, I said that earlier. He loves the whole world, but we got to learn to do his will. Listen to his voice. So this mustard seed grows large and becomes a source of food, rest, and shelter for both believers and false professing individuals who seek to consume and take advantage of us. See, that's those enemies, you know, but they get benefited too if they surrender to the Lord. You know, now they might not get all the essence of who Christ is because they don't surrender to him, unfortunately, but they still can see the power of God. And many people, when Jesus was doing what he was doing, those religious leaders kept saying, what authority do you have to talk like this and to do these things? That's what they, you know, they talked about him in that story I was telling you about the parable of the two sons and, you know, the first son and the second son. And in Matthew 21, he was saying to them, you know, those religious leaders that were so focused on lip service and not really putting their heart into who God says that they are in him and believing his voice, they kept telling Jesus, who do you think you are? What authority do you have coming here and doing all these things and turning water to wine and throwing a fit in the temple and doing all these, healing these people and doing stuff on the Sabbath? Who gave you authority? Where's your ordained papers? Where's, you know, and Jesus is like, okay, I mean, come on. So that's when he tells the story about the two sons, because he's saying the first son is like those tax collectors, harlots, the outcasts, the people you wouldn't think about would be able to enter the kingdom. They wouldn't think about, but he said those are the ones going to get into the kingdom because they're doing the will of the Father. Isn't that beautiful? See, it's not about the external performance first. It's about your position that you are taking in what God's word says about you and what you must do. Oh, praise the Lord, beloved. I just want to just thank the Lord for all what he's doing. Thank you that you're listening. I pray that these messages are ministering seeds of life to you, and that you will understand that just like the church back in the early days, how it started out very, very, very small. It was a small little church, but it grew extremely large just as it started small, and it remained pure before the Lord and continued to trust the Lord. And like 3,000 souls were born again in the early church, and more souls, and on and on and on. And now we got the message, and now it's our job, to believers who name the name of Christ, to sow the seeds that we say we love. The seed of life is Christ. So if we love Christ and he's in us, then we need to take that mustard seed faith, feed the word of God, feed on the word of God, and allow the word of God to show us the wrong areas, the toxic areas and thoughts that we're thinking, and detox, cast them down, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And renew your mind, Romans 12, 2, on a daily basis. Get with the group of people that do that. Call me. We'd love to work with you. Hey, I love you. Check our site out and stay tuned for the next sowing the seeds with our spiritual eyes. Hallelujah.